So thank you, Nicholas and Rajon and Jeff and Tim. We appreciate these young fellows and their involvement. You know, with Nicholas, I remember when he started his singing career, and he stood in our living room and he sang, "Monkeys are fidgety things." And I believe that he had one of the toughest audiences he has ever sung to, because I was there and my two sons were there. And he stood up as a little wee guy and he faced us and he sang about monkeys. Maybe he'll sing that for us sometime, just for old time's sake. Anyway, this morning I would like to consider with you one of my favorite chapters in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 15. And I've entitled this Lost and Found. And so first of all, I would like to read that entire chapter, Luke chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.' Then he arose and he came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now the Lord bless the reading of this beautiful chapter. Now I've entitled my little talk today, Lost and Found. I'm glad that I didn't just have to title it Lost, because usually the word lost, or often the word lost, is associated with sadness. In fact, the word lost is a rather interesting word, and I was thinking of some of the things, or some of the ways in which we use the word lost. And it's a rather unique word. In fact, it's one of those words in the English language that can be used a lot of different ways. Now, I'm not an English teacher, but this is the most I've ever taught English. But, you know, lost can be used as a verb. I lost my watch. I'm used to that. It's a verb. I lost it. Or it can be used as a noun. The lost is found. Or it can be used as an adjective. The lost boy came home. And so we use it a lot of different ways. And sometimes, you know, there's some of these that I put up here I can refer to, or I can relate to well, like lost mitts. That's one of the things. In the wintertime, I can never find my mitts. My keys. You know, Ruth is so used to me saying, you know, Ruth, do you know where my keys are, that now I don't even have to say the whole sentence and she can tell me where they are. That's something else. I often lose my watch. I think I'm just getting more absent-minded. The older I get, I lose more things. But, you know, I'm thankful I haven't lost my hair. And I haven't lost my appetite. Some people have lost their appetite and they lose desires and lost opportunities. Oh, I've lost lots of opportunities. Lost hope. That's a terrible thing when somebody loses hope. A good thing is when you've lost weight, as long as it's not because of some illness. But, you know, people want to do that, and they like to be able to say, oh, I lost some weight. And that's a good thing. But this morning, I want to consider Luke chapter 15, and in that particular chapter, we have three things that are lost. First of all, we have lost sheep. And then we have a lost coin. And finally, we have a lost son. You know, it's interesting the context in which these parables were spoken by the Lord Jesus. He was with a crowd of people, and as usual, the outcasts of life were attracted to him. And so those who were tax collectors, they were attracted to the Lord Jesus. And so they began to gather around him. And those who the religious elite would refer to as sinners, they were gathering around the Lord Jesus. And they were getting as close as possible to him because they didn't want to miss a word that he had to say. But at the same time, the religious elite, the Pharisees and the scribes, they weren't getting quite so close, but they were standing close enough, just close enough so that they could see what was going on, so that they could keep an eye on things and see what this Jesus of Nazareth was up to. And then as they saw the people that he was associating with, it made them boil inside. And so they started to murmur and complain. And apparently what they would do is they would actually move throughout the crowd. And so they might come up to someone like Len there and they'd tap him on the shoulder and they'd say, "Do you see who he's associated with? He's with the publicans. He's with the tax collectors and the sinners. Those are the ones that he's associated with." And then they just sort of move on. And they just drop the hint here and there. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to turn the entire crowd against the Lord Jesus. Because they desired him to be put down. They desired him to be put to death. And so it was their goal as the righteous ones, the self-righteous ones, to turn the entire crowd against the Son of God. And so they were trying to do it this day because he was eating with tax collectors and sinners. Well, the Lord Jesus, because he was God and knows the hearts of all men, he knows your heart and he knows mine. And he knew the hearts and the thoughts of these Pharisees and Sadducees. And so he decided it was time for another object lesson. And so he actually spoke these parables then to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he told them about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Now, as we go through these this morning, there's nothing very complicated about it. This is basically the way I would like to think of them. First of all, I would like to think of what it means to be lost. And then I would like to think about how was the lost lost? And then how was the lost found? What was the outcome of the lost being found? And throughout that, we want to apply some practical application. Now, I've spoken on this chapter many times before, and usually when I would speak on this chapter, I would apply it to unbelievers. But this morning, I want to take a little different twist to it, because I believe that this chapter cannot only be applied to unbelievers who are lost in sin, but I believe that even as believers, we can get lost. Just as the sheep was lost, the coin was lost, and the son was lost. And so in many ways, I would like to apply it this morning to those of us who are believers. So first of all, let's think about what it means to be lost. And as we're thinking about what it means to be lost, I would like to think of it in terms of a sheep and then a coin and then a son. Like, what does it mean for a sheep if the sheep is lost? Well, it means a number of things. First of all, if a sheep is lost, it's exposed to the dangers of the outside world that normally it would be protected from. You see, the shepherd's job was to protect the sheep from the dangers of the world. And so if there were wild animals, then the shepherd would chase the wild animals away or put the wild animal to death. But for a sheep that was lost, if there was a wild animal, if there was an enemy, it had no protection if it's lost. Or if the sheep were heading towards a cliff and had the danger of going over the cliff, then the shepherd would guide them the other way. But for a sheep that's lost, it's no longer experiencing the care of the shepherd. He's no longer experiencing the green pastures and still waters that the shepherd would normally lead the sheep into. Isn't that what the psalmist in Psalm 23 was talking about? "He leadeth me in green pastures, and he maketh me to lie down beside still waters." And so a sheep who is under the shepherd's care experiences the good things that the shepherd would provide for the sheep. But once it is lost, then it has to fend for itself. Maybe the waters that it goes beside are rushing wild waters rather than still waters where it's peaceful. Instead of experiencing green pastures, a sheep that is lost can experience the wilderness and lack of food. For a sheep that is lost, he's no longer associated with the other sheep. He's all by himself. Rather lonely place to be. He's on his own. For a sheep that is lost, it could mean death. Because the protection of the shepherd isn't there. Now, how about a coin? You know, the coin, what's it mean to be lost? Well, a coin is an inanimate object. So really, for the coin itself, it doesn't mean much at all, does it? Whether it's lost or found. But you know, if a coin is lost, the one thing I'd like to say about it is it's still valuable. It still has the same value, whether it's lost or found. It still has value, but it's of no use to its rightful owner. That's with a lost coin. You know, I have here, I want to show you this. See this little ring? Now, it's likely kind of hard to see, especially for people with eye trouble, but this little ring, I found this ring this summer. I was out in my backyard, and I was digging up some more garden space. So you never seem to have enough. And I'm kind of cheap, and so I don't throw away sod. What I do is I take the sod and I pile it in a spot, and then once it dries out a bit, I shake it, and I get all that good dirt out of it, and then I throw what I don't want away. But you know what? I was shaking the sod, and I noticed something glitter, and I found this ring. It's gold. How do you like that? Now, this ring, I haven't had it evaluated yet, but I might. I had it over at Hess Jewelers, and they told me it's gold. So I know that much. But this ring, it might have been there for, I've lived in the house now for, how long have we been there? Over 30 years, right? Over 30 years we've lived there. So this has to be at least 30 years old. In fact, the house was likely built in the 1960s, late 50s. So it could have been just as it was built that somebody lost this ring. In fact, if you let your mind go, maybe it was brought in a truckload of fill. Maybe it's been lost since the turn of the century. It's getting more valuable. Anybody want to buy it? Right? It's getting more valuable all the time. Think of the price of gold. This thing is actually worth more now than when it was lost because of the price of gold. And so it didn't lose its value, but for the rightful owner, it certainly lost its usefulness. Couldn't use it anymore. In fact, the rightful owner might not even be alive anymore. And if they are, they've likely forgotten all about this ring. And so you see, for something like a coin or a ring that's lost, it still has value. And you know what? In God's sight, whether you or I are lost or found, we're of tremendous value. Even though we might wander away from God like a lost sheep, or we might be lost like the coin, then in God's sight, we are still of tremendous value. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you're not valuable in the sight of God. In fact, you and I are of so much value in the sight of God that he willingly gave his one and only son to die on the cross so that you and I could be found. We're of tremendous value to God. And so a lost coin then is valuable but of no use to its rightful owner. What about a son? A lost son. You know, it's a sad thing when a family loses a son. When a son leaves a family and wanders off, and for that family, the son is lost. I had a cousin, and I don't want to tell a lot of stories here, but I'm going to tell you this one. I had a cousin. I really never knew him very well. He was older than me. And that cousin ended up being a soldier in the Second World War. And while he was off fighting, he became entangled with alcohol. And that alcohol ruined his life. Alcohol still ruins lives, but it ruined him. And so when he came back from Europe, he never came home. Instead, he went to the big city. He went to Toronto, and he was going to make his way there. I only met that cousin once. He never came home except for his dad's funeral. And then he went right back to the big city. He was lost to our family. And actually, he lost his life in the city. He was murdered. Downtown Toronto, Jarvis Street. Homeless. He had nothing. Totally lost. You know, that's sad. And there are so many people in this world. So many, young and old. And they're lost. But you know, with this son that was lost, first of all, he no longer had connection with the family. Like, he had no fellowship with the family. When the family would get together and they would have a good time together, the son would know nothing of it because he was lost to the family. He was experiencing pleasures, but the problem with the pleasures is that they soon ended. Pretty soon he was doing things that he didn't want to do. Things that were repulsive to him. This son here in this parable, he found himself out with the pigs, eating pig food. Repulsive. Things he didn't want to do. Things he never expected to do. He was going away for a good time. But soon the good time ended. And he found himself with the pigs, hating his life. You know, that's a sad thing too, isn't it? When people become so lost that they start to hate life and wish that they had never been born. But you know what? We have a lot of people in this world, and they hate life. They're lost, just like this son was lost. He was expecting freedom, only to find himself in bondage. You know, and how many people go off to do their own thing? Sometimes they leave home. Young people will leave home and you know, they're heading off. You know, now's the time of year when people are going to university, and sometimes, you know, they can hardly wait. Freedom! Mom and dad won't be there anymore. It's going to be great. And all of a sudden, they find that it's not so great after all. And they're lost, and they're alone, and they're lonely. They expected freedom. They tried this and they try that and the other thing, and before they know it, they're in bondage rather than freedom. Terrible thing to be lost. Anyway, I got to move on. Oh boy. I talk it too much. How is the lost lost? Well, think of the sheep first of all. You know, I don't think that little sheep that was lost, I don't think he sat down in his hunches one day and said, "I'm getting out of here. Had enough of this old boy. I want the good life." That's not how it happened at all. With the sheep, it would have been lost unwittingly. Just kind of wandered away. You know, maybe he saw a little green grass here and nothing wrong with the grass. Very legitimate. And so he just ran over there and he ate that grass. And then he looks up and he says, "Oh, there's some more. It's a little further away." And he runs over and he eats that grass. Nothing wrong with the grass. It's legitimate. All things are lawful for me. I can do that. And then he says, "Oh, that looks like fun." And so he goes somewhere else and he tries that. And he hasn't made a plan to do it. He doesn't expect to leave the shepherd. But just unwittingly, he goes from here to there. And then all of a sudden, he kind of looks around and he notices he can't hear the shepherd's voice anymore. And he looks around and the rest of the sheep aren't with him. He's lost. And he doesn't know how to find his way home. And so he just became occupied with the good things of life and he didn't really notice what was happening. You know, I believe that that can happen to you and I as believers as well. We can be chasing this and chasing that. Very legitimate things, fun things to do. Then all of a sudden, I mean, I found myself in that position. Where all of a sudden, am I hearing the master's voice? Am I hearing the voice of the shepherd? And all of a sudden I realize I'm not hearing the shepherd's voice. Why? Because I'm lost. I'm off on my own. And so that's how a sheep can become lost. How about a coin? How's it lost? Well, a coin is lost unknowingly. You know, you can lose a coin and not know it. Done that before. Sudden you're feeling around. Where'd it go? And you've lost it. A coin can be lost because of neglect on the part of others. Right? Sometimes it's just neglect and something like a coin is lost. Or sometimes it's forgetfulness. Coin is lost. How about the son? Well, the son's a different situation. The son was lost because he chose his way. It was premeditated. He sat down and he calculated and he decided. He made all the decisions himself. And he said, I am going to leave. I need some money. So he came up with the plan to get the money. Kind of weird, different, but he got the money. And away he went. He had his inheritance before his dad passed away. But it was premeditated. He desired to have his own way. And you know, there are people that are lost that way as well. They look at God's way and they look at their own way and they say, I want my own way. I'm going to have it no matter what. I'm going to do it. And so they do it and they're lost. And before they know it, they find themselves like the son. They start to hate life. When there's all the pleasures of the Father's house waiting for them. If only they would return. So how was the lost one found? Well, again, as you go through them, there's different situations. You notice that for the sheep, it did nothing as far as it being found. It was just lost out in the wilderness, but it was the shepherd. And the shepherd was out there and he was seeking the sheep that was lost. He was looking for the sheep that was lost. And he was calling out the name of the little sheep that was lost. But it was all the work of the shepherd. And the shepherd found the sheep that was lost. And I'm so thankful that even though I can wander away and follow things that would take me away from the shepherd, that he never gives up on me. He's always calling my name. And he's watching and he's looking and he's looking for me to bring me back. And when he finds me and he carries me back to the fold, then there's a rejoicing that takes place. The shepherd, the good shepherd, will never give up on you. Even though you are lost, he is continually seeking those who are lost. And perhaps there's some here this morning and you're lost because you've never met the shepherd. You say, how can I find my way? I don't even know who the shepherd is. Well, thank God we can tell you this morning that the Lord Jesus is the one who is the good shepherd. And he is seeking those who are lost. Whether it's those who are lost in sin because they have never come to know him as Savior, or if it's those of us who are lost as believers because we have just wandered away, the shepherd this morning, thank God, the good shepherd is seeking those who are lost. What about the coin? Well, the coin that was lost, it was found by diligent effort on part of the one who lost it through neglect. And I believe that there's lessons for us, even as a local church, in that particular parable as well. You know, sometimes people can be lost because they've been neglected. Sometimes people can be lost because they've been forgotten about. But then the person who lost it went out and they sought the one that was lost. And through diligent effort, the coin that was lost was found. How about the son? How was the lost son found? Different situation again. Did you notice that the father didn't leave home? The father just sat at home and he longed for the son to return. He prayed for the son to return. It was the thing that was utmost on his mind, and he sat there as it were and he looked down the road. You can just picture him. And I believe that there are many fathers and mothers, and they're doing this today. It's as if they're sitting on the front porch and they're watching down the road and they're just waiting for their son or their daughter to return. And God is waiting for you and I to return and to come back home. In the time of the Depression, my dad was a young man. He decided he would leave home and he would go to the big city. Toronto always seemed to have a call. It does still for people, right? Go to Toronto. Have some fun. So what he did was he left home and he went to the big city. And he was just there a short time and he didn't have as much money as this guy. And so he was just there a short time and he was out of money. He had nothing. In fact, he didn't have enough money to get back home. And so what he did was he rode the rails, jumped the train in Toronto. I mean, I can hardly believe this, but he jumped the train in Toronto and he rode the rails back up to Lindsay. And when he was about 20 miles from home, he jumped off the train and he walked the rest of the way home. And he tells the story about how he went up to the old farmhouse. And it was night. And he had nothing. And he went to the door and the door was locked. And he knocked on the door. And he could hear the upstairs window being open. And his dad's voice came and he says, "Who's there?" And all he had to say was, "It's me." His dad says, "Just a minute. I'll be right down." And he was received back to the home. The father was waiting, his dad was waiting for that day when his son who had left would come home, and he received him with welcome, opening arms. And the father will receive you and I if we come back. Even if we've made a willful decision to leave, if we come back, the father will receive us. But we have to make that decision to return. You notice that in these three parables, you can actually look at them this way, and with this I'll close, but you can look at them this way, that when it comes to those who are lost, whether it's believers or unbelievers, all the members of the Godhead are involved. You have the shepherd, which would speak to us of the Lord Jesus, the one who said, "I am the good shepherd," and he's out there, and he's seeking, and he's watching, and he's looking for those who are lost. And then the second parable would speak to us of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is stirring up things in our lives. Just picture the broom as the broom is sweeping the floor in order to find that coin that is lost. And the lamp is out looking for the coin. Then the Holy Spirit works in the lives of people who are lost to bring them back to the Father. And of course, in the last parable, we have the Father that would speak to us of God the Father, and he's sitting there and he's longing and he's waiting for those who are lost to return. And when one does, it's not a reprimand. It's not like, I remember Andrew telling, but one of his friends who, when he came home, his mother hugged him and then took the broom to him. That's not what happens. The Father receives us back with loving arms. And so this morning, if you're lost, whether you're lost because you have never found the Savior in the first place, this morning the Lord Jesus is seeking and saving those which are lost. But you have to come to him and he'll receive you this morning. Or even if you're a believer and you feel like you're a long ways from God, that you can't hear the shepherd's voice anymore, and you're not enjoying the Bible, and you're not really enjoying the Christian life, and you find yourself in a position where you say, I don't even like this anymore, and I don't like what I'm doing, and I wish I wasn't in this place anymore. Come back to the Father. Come back to the arms of the one who loved you, the one who gave his son for you, and he'll receive you back. You know, I've been lost lots of times. I mean, spiritually lost. But I can tell you from experience that when I come back, the Father will always take you back. He'll never leave you alone. Remember my brother saying that to me one time. He had decided that he would turn his back on everything religious. He decided that he would not believe anything. And I remember the day he called me up on the phone, and in tears he told me, he says, "I tried to give it all up. I tried to walk away from it all, but he says the Lord would not leave me alone. And he won't leave us alone because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're feeling lost today, come back to the Savior and he'll receive you with open arms. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for these parables that the Lord Jesus spoke and so full of meaning. And so many lessons that can be learned from these parables. And Lord, we just pray that if there are those here this morning and they are lost or feeling lost, we pray that each one of us would return to the Father. And we know that if we return, that we will be received with open arms. And our Father, if there are those who have never met the Shepherd, who have never trusted him as Savior, we pray that even though they are lost in sin, that they would come back and that they would accept him as Savior and that they would be found. And so we thank you for each one who is here this morning. Each one has their own particular needs, Lord, and we know that you are able to meet the need of each one. And so we just pray for your blessing as we give thanks for the Lord Jesus in his name. Amen. Thank you.